Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope all of you had a great Father's Day last week, and it's so good to be back in the house of the Lord today. I tell you, we had Vacation Bible School this week. It was a wonderful week of Vacation Bible School. See all those excited little kids running around everywhere. It's always good to see that and to get to meet their parents and things. We have family night tonight. We'll be meeting with their families and little kids will be sharing with us. We also have some missionaries from Romania will be there speaking tonight. So we invite you to come out tonight. If you don't have anywhere to go, if you're well enough to come, we'd love to see you tonight at 6 o'clock at West Macomb Baptist Church. But we're glad to be able to come with you today once again and share this word. We hope that you're well. Some of you may be traveling, others may be shut in, and we pray for you. So let's just go to the Lord and pray right now and just ask Him to be with us this morning as we look to His holy word. Father, we thank You for this opportunity once again to come and to share this word, Lord, over this radio station. We thank You for that opportunity, Lord, that we still have the freedom and the liberty in this nation that we live in. We pray, Lord, that we'll always exercise it. We pray, Lord, that we'll never take it for granted, but that, Lord, that we'll be busy about Your work every opportunity that we get. We pray, Lord, for these that we're sharing the word with today that may be shut in or at home, may be sick this morning, not able to get up and go to church, Lord, we pray for their speedy recovery. We pray for those that may be traveling, Lord, for whatever reason this morning, that You give them safe journey. They may be listening to us in the car. But Lord, we pray most of all that Your word will not return unto You void, that You will bless the reading of it. You will bless me, Lord, that You will cleanse me of my sin and bless the preaching of it. That, Lord, that we will truly know that You are the one and the only true God. And, Lord, that You have a Son whose name's Jesus that can save us. And He's the only name by which we must be saved. So if there's one lost, we pray, Lord, that they'll be saved today as we give You the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. You know, every year it seems I've got the opportunity to go to youth camp with our children, with our youth, not our children. And I always enjoy that. This year, I didn't get to go because of my knee surgery, and so I hated that. Had three of my grandchildren win. I really wanted to go. But I always like to kind of follow up what they did at youth camp, you know, kind of tie it all together. When we get back from youth camp, I love to listen to the preachers that preach at youth camp, and I take those notes. And this year, I wasn't able to be there, but I've been kind of asking the children, the youth. I said, you know what? What did they do? What did they talk about? I asked the leaders, you know, what was the theme this year? And it was talking about God being matchless, that He is a matchless. So this morning, that's what I want us to think about, the matchless God. In other words, there's none that can match Him in any way. There's none that is equal unto Him. Now, in the youth Bible study during that week of youth camp, I know that they cover different things like forgiveness, how that God is matchless, and you have to have that matchless forgiveness. You got to have that matchless sacrifice, that matchless obedience, and the things that they talked about during that youth camp. But I want us to carry it a little bit further this morning. I want us to think about, how is God matchless? How is He different from all the other gods? How is He different from all the others that claim to be gods? For we know He is that one and only God, and nothing can match up to Him. Nothing can hold a candle to God, to Almighty God, to who He is and to what He does and what He is able to do. And so this morning, that's what I want us to think about, how matchless God is. There is none that can match unto Him. You know, all of us, we've heard statements like, well, man, he finally met his match, or I finally met my match. And you know what that means, that somebody that's equal to you, somebody that can do things as good as you can do things, somebody that knows as much as you know. Now, I know that's kind of stretching it kind of far, you know, kind of think about that people know as much as you know. But there is a matchless God, and He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. He is the God that created all things. He is the God who gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and there is none like unto Him. Well, Isaiah chapter 40, we see that he talks about God being just that. I know we look at these verses because if you ask somebody to quote a verse from the Old Testament, one of the verses that they may know is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many times you seen that on a plaque somewhere? I think Denise and I think somebody gave us one. I think we have a plaque with that on it, because it is one of those favorite verses that we like to quote and we like to remember, that if we wait upon the Lord, that God, the Lord of God, will renew our strength. There is none equal unto him. And so he says that. So we're going to go back and read from Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to begin with verse 25 and we'll read down through verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 25 and reading down through verse 31. God is speaking and he says, "To whom then will be likened unto me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by numbers. He calleth them all by name, and by the greatness of his might, and that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, that hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that shall mount up with wings of eagles, they shall run and be not weary. They shall walk and faint not." You know, this morning as we think about God being that matchless God, we see that he asked the question here to Isaiah. He says, "Who is it then that's like unto me? Who is it that is my equal? Is there anyone that is equal to me? Is there anyone that is likened to me? Saith who? The Holy One." And then he goes on and he says, really, there's not. He says, well, when you look at creation, when, you know, how come would Jacob and Israel think that I would miss anything that they do? I don't go to sleep. I don't faint. I don't grow weary. I'm constantly watching. I'm constantly taking record of everything that everybody's doing. He says, I'm all powerful. I don't faint. And even those that wait upon me, they too shall have their strength renewed. So what about this matchless God? Who is he? What do we see about him? How is he matchless in the things that the Bible teaches us about God? You know, in this day of time, it seems as if our nation is getting an influx of other gods. We see that we're really becoming that melting pot. I remember back in elementary school studying history and it talking about how the United States of America was a melting pot of people. Well, brothers and sisters, it's becoming a boiling pot right now, that we've had so much influx and so much different gods and things that are brought into our nation right now, that oftentimes, you know, we kind of wonder, where in the world is our nation headed? But as we think about that, we think about all these other gods. Who is likened to God? Who is it that can match God? And there is none that we see. There is none that is his equal. So let's look at several things this morning that I want to talk about God and how that he is matchless. First of all, in his glory, there is none that can match the glory of God. Number two, there is none that can match God in his creation, in the things that he created. Number three, there is none that can match God in his power. There is none that is powerful as he is. And then number four, there is none that can match God in his love for us. The love that he has shown unto us through his Son, Jesus Christ, we know there is none that loves us as much as he does. So let's go back and let's look at these four things this morning as we think about our God being that matchless God, that there is none like unto him. So let's notice the first thing there in verse 25. Once again, "To whom then will he liken to me? Or shall I be equal? Saith who? The Holy One." Now get that. Saith the Holy One. Who can match the holiness of God? Who is as holy as he is? In his glory, he is the Holy One. There is none that can match him. There is none as holy as our God is. You go to Isaiah chapter 6 and you look at verse 1. And here we see Isaiah when he sees his vision. What did he say? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, what? Sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I saw what? I saw the Lord sitting where? Upon his throne. He sits upon the throne. There is none like unto him. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And he is high and lifted up. There is none that has his glory. We know you go through Exodus and you read about Moses and you read about God's glory coming down and filling the temple and filling the tabernacle and being on the mountain and how great the glory of the God was. God showed his glory unto Moses time and time again. And brothers and sisters, there is none more glorifying than God. There is none that looks like unto him. And when Isaiah sees this in chapter 6, and he talks about how that I saw God high and lifted up, sitting on his throne, and how that they were none like unto him. His train just filled the temple. And it talked about all the seraphims and others. And what was they crying out? What was they crying? If you keep reading there, what was they crying? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. There is none that can add up to God's glory and his holiness. There is none like unto him. He is that only holy one in his glory. Now, you know, when you think about all these other gods of the world, you think about all of them, none of them look in their glory. Have you ever seen a statue of Buddha? Does it look very glorious? Does it look very glorious? You know, usually they make them out of gold. But is that the kind of God that you want? One that you can kick over and you can't even set himself up? You've never heard me say that a lot of times. But God in his glory, he is holy, holy, holy. He is a glorious God. In Psalms chapter 86, verse 8, he says, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither is there any works like unto your works. There is none like unto you. There is none whose works are like your works. You know, Stephen, when Stephen was stoned, when he was martyred, you remember how that Stephen was giving his, he was giving his defense, and he was talking about God, and he was talking about Jesus Christ and all this. And then what did he say? Him being in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, what did he say in Acts chapter 7, verse 25? He said, I what? And he looked up and I saw the glory of God, and I saw Jesus, who? God's Son, standing at the right hand of God. He was sitting there at the right hand of God. And boy, when they heard that, they all got upset, didn't they? They said, man, what are you talking about? You putting Jesus up there with God? What do you think that you're doing, that you're putting Jesus there? Listen, Stephen saw the glory of God, and he saw the glory of Jesus, and he saw that as he is stoned to death. And what did he say? He says, Father, don't hold it to their account. They don't know what they're doing. Like our Savior said when he was hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Listen, when you see the glory of God, you can be a forgiving person. When you see the glory of God, you can understand how that he loves people. God is a holy God. He is the Holy One. Holy, holy, holy. There is none like unto him. There is none that has the glory that our God has. Well, let's look at the second thing. We just read there in Psalms 86, what did it say? There's no God like unto you. There's neither any work that any of them have done that is like unto your work. So he is matchless in his creation. What did Buddha create? What did Buddha create? What did Muhammad create? You know, they try to say that Allah is the same as our God, but now what did he create? You know, God created all these things. And this is what he says here in verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who have created these things, and bringeth out the host by numbers. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one fell it. Did you hear that? He said, look at your eyes. Look at all these things that have been created. Who created all these things? How did they happen? Now, you know, I can remember when I was in elementary school, and you know how long ago that's been. And, you know, I can think about even then when evolution came out. And, you know, we had to fight for our creation. We had to fight to get people to understand that, yes, that God created all things, and that without him, there was nothing created. And brother and sister, we need to understand that he is matchless in his creation. Nobody has ever created anything. You know, I heard a joke one time. It's talking about these scientists, you know, told God that they could make anything that he had made. And he said, "Now, wait a minute. You think you can create like I create?" And they said, "Yeah, we can create like you create." And he said, "Okay." And they said, "Well, let us go over here and get us some dirt. Let us get us a bucket of dirt." He said, "Wait a minute. If you want to create something, then you use your own dirt. Think about that just a minute. You use your own dirt. What can we create? We can't create anything. God created everything. Everything that man has invented and everything that man has come up with, they got it from something that God created. They used the things that God created. See, it tells us in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He began it all. He created it all. Now, how did he create it? Did he get somebody else's dirt? Did he get Buddhist's dirt? Did he find some of what Allah had used to create with? No. God spoke everything into existence, folks, by his precious word. He spoke these things into existence. He spoke these things into being. Because God is God, there's none like unto him. He said, "I created all these things, and I bringeth out the host by numbers." I mean, isn't it amazing to think about all the things God created? I mean, you can't even start naming all the plants, much less all the bugs and all the animals and all the things. But what did it say? He said, not only has he created all these things, but he says that he created all these things, and what happens? He calleth them by name and by the greatness of his might. But he created all these things, even to the ends of the earth. He has did this. He has been the one that created. Look down in verse 28. "Hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding." Who is he? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. In other words, he created it all. I mean, it didn't happen from some big bang. It didn't happen from some soup. It didn't happen out of the ocean. Brothers and sisters, God spoke it into being, and he is matchless. There is none that has ever created as God created. There is no God like unto him. Well, let's look then at the third thing. The third thing, there is no God, there is none that is matchless unto him as the power of God. When we think about that power of God, when we think about the power that he possesses, going back up to that verse 26 once again, and what did he say? For that he is strong in power and not one faileth. So he says when he created all these things, he is so strong in his power that what he created lasted. Now, have you ever made something that didn't last? maybe you went to the furniture store and bought a chair, and maybe it didn't, a recliner. How long did it last? I was looking at my chair there in my office chair, and it had this old bonded leather stuff on it, and it's starting to peel off, and it's starting to come off. And the church paid a lot of money for that chair. You know, and I said, "Man, I'm disappointed in that chair that didn't last any longer than it did, that it's starting to peel off." You know, it's sad when you have something that's been created or something that is made that don't last, right? I love these lifetime warranties, don't you? When people talk about his lifetime, I had a guy ask, "Well, whose life is that? What do you mean a lifetime?" And always they say what? Limited lifetime warranty. Well, listen to me. When God created, when he created all these things, what did he say? He created them with his power, and not one faileth. He's matchless in his creation. No matter what man creates, no matter what man may come up, guess what? It'll fail. Ever bought a new car and it break down on you? Ever got a new washing machine or dryer and it didn't work but a month? And you wonder what happened? Yeah, I tell people all the time, if it's machinery, what? It'll break down on you. If it's any kind of machinery, it'll tear up with you. And that's exactly true. But God created it all, and it does not fail. He says what? Neither does he grow weary and faint in this creation that he does. He's not growing weary. He's going to continue, and he does not grow weak. Look at verse 27. He says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over him?" And he said, "Don't you know? Don't you know better than that? I don't faint. I don't go sleep. Nobody can understand me because I'm God. I am the Holy One. I am the Great One. I am the one that created all these things. So do you think you can hide something from me?" That's what he's saying. Do you think you can hide something from me? You know, we like to use that word, that he is all present. He is omniscient. He is all knowing. He is all powerful, and omnipotent. And we use these words. But what it means is God knows everything. In his power, he knows everything. There's nothing that we can hide from him. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He creates it all. He doesn't weary. He doesn't faint. And in verse 29, he says, "He giveth power to the ones that faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength." So not in words does he only have his own power, but he gives power to those who are powerless. He gives power to those who have no power. He helps those. He is matchless in his power. Have you ever been running a race or something, or a long distance race or something, or you've been working and doing something, and somebody by you gives out and they say, "Man, help me. I just ain't going to make it." And you say, "Man, I can't hardly tote myself. You're going to have to take care of your own self." Well, God's not that way. He is so powerful that he never runs out of power or strength. He can give us the strength that we need. He can give us the power that we need. He is a matchless power. There is no one that can match him. We see these strong man competitions. We see these, arm wrestling competitions. We see these fighters and we say, "Hey, they're the strongest man or this." And then somebody comes up and beats them. And somebody comes up and they meet their match. And somebody else picks up more weight than they do or beats them in the arm wrestling. Listen, there is none that is more powerful than the God. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 32:17. He says, "Ah, Lord God, I behold that thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." Did you hear that? God, I behold, I see what you have made. I see how that through your outstretched arm, through your power, that you have made all this, and there is nothing too hard for you. God's matchless power, brothers and sisters, there's nothing too hard with him. Do you think America can experience revival? Do you think America can come back to the Lord? Do you think we can see people saved and our revival take place in our nation? Sure it can. Because what? Because God's power is all powerful. There's nothing too hard from him. America is not past God's saving. But America's got to want to be saved. It's got to want to turn back to God. In verse 27 of that Jeremiah chapter 32, he said, "Behold, I am the Lord thy God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard that I can't do? You name me one thing that I can't do, and there's nothing. I heard somebody say one time, "Well, if God can do anything, can he build a rock that he can't pick up?" Now think about that just a minute. Well, my answer to that is, you say, "Well, that then if God can't pick it up, then he can't do everything." Well, my answer to that is this. If God had a reason and a purpose to glorify his name, to build a rock bigger than he can pick up, then he could build one if he wanted to. But he is God, and there's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing that he cannot do. And brothers and sisters, he is all-powerful, and he is all-knowing. He is all-present God because of his power. So we see that this God is matchless. He's matchless in his glory. He's matchless in his creation. He's matchless in his power. But lastly, and greatest of all, what? He is matchless in his love. The love that God has for each and every one of us. These verses, like I said, if you read the Old Testament, probably these verses, that verse 31 is probably one that a lot of people know and they like to turn to and they have hanging in their house where it says, "But they that wait upon," what? "The Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord. See, here is saying that if we'll just wait upon God, God loves us so much. That's how great His love is. He loves us so much that He will renew our strength. When we get weak and we get weary, when we get right to the point of fainting, He will renew our strength. He shall mount up our wings like eagles. I heard a person say, you can't soar with the eagles in the daytime if you're howling with the owls at night, if you're out with the owls at night. So, you know, think about that just a minute. If you're out with the owls hooting at the moon at night, and then how can you soar with the eagles during the day? See, brothers and sisters, you can't play both sides of the fence. God loves you so much, though, that He will renew your strength. If you will wait upon Him, He will renew your strength. You will run. You will not get weary. You'll walk. You'll not faint in this world that we're living in. You'll be able to do the things that God has set before you. John 3:16 says, "What? For God so loved the world." And you've heard me talk about this a lot because it's such a wonderful verse. God did what? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Does anybody love you like God loves you? There is none matches unto Him. You've heard me say time and time again, you know, Allah wants us to do what? Sacrifice our sons to Him and our children to Him. Allah tells us, you know, put the bum on your child. On your child's back, or give him a backpack with a bum and let him walk in there and blow himself up, and then God accept him. Allah accept him and he'll go to heaven. I'm glad to know that my God is a God that loved me so much that He gave His Son for me. He gave His Son for my sons and daughters and my grandchildren, sons and daughters. And that He doesn't ask me to sacrifice my children to Him just so they can go to heaven. He sacrificed His Son so I can go to heaven and so my children can go to heaven. That's the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of love that He has for you. And there is none that matches their love. There's no one that loves you so unconditionally as God does this morning. And He is matchless in that love. And He loves you. That's how much He so loved the world. Have you experienced that love of God today? Listen to what He said in Ephesians 2:4. He says, "But God, who is rich in His mercy, for His great love, wherewith He has loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." How many verses? How many times do we have to say it? It's only by the love and the grace of God and the mercy of God that we find salvation. It's because God loved you so much. And I love what He says here. God, who is matchless, He's rich and He's great in His mercy and He's great in His love, which He loved us. And because of that, even when we were dead in our sin, even though we were sinful, even though we were out here not living for Him, what? Jesus died for you. He loves you that so much. It is a matchless love that God has for each and every one of us. And for that reason, He quickened us through Jesus Christ. In other words, He brought us back to life. He gives us eternal life. And we are saved because of the grace. For by grace are you saved, that God would love you in such a way. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, He says He has loved us with an everlasting love. Did you see what it says? Back down in verse 28 once again. Hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God. See, God is an everlasting God. God loves us with an everlasting love. He gives us an everlasting grace and His mercy. His mercy is renewed and refreshed every day. And brothers and sisters, God faints not. He does not grow weary in His love of us. Now, He'll punish us if we're His child to bring us back into that fold. He'll punish us to get us back. But God loves you in a matchless way that nobody else will love you. I don't care how much your mom and daddy say they love you. Nobody loves you like Jesus. I don't care how much that husband or wife or your children say they love you. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Jesus is matchless. God is a matchless God. And brothers and sisters, there is none that holds a candle to His glory. There is none that is like Him in His creation. There is none who holds the power that God holds. There is none who loves as God loves. This morning, meet the matchless God. Accept the matchless love. Accept him today as your Lord and as your Savior. These other gods are useless. They're nothing. They can't do anything for you. None of them can hold a candle unto God. None of them can match what he can do. None is like unto him or is equal unto him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we serve a matchless God. We thank you that we serve a God who is above all in his glory, in his creation, in his power, and in his love for us. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one who has not experienced the glory of God, did not realize that he created them for a particular purpose, then I pray today will be the day, Lord, that they'll come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they'll experience that matchless love that Jesus has for them. Speak to their hearts now, Lord. Thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for being our God and letting us be your people. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.